Welcome to the podcast by Little Honey Money. Wellness, support, and wisdom for new motherhood in the modern world.
Hi, I'm Erica.
And I'm Joanna. And you're listening to the podcast by Little Honey Money, where we talk about all things wellness and support for new motherhood while growing our own tech baby called Little Honey Money. We've created a new kind of baby registry. We call it the Mother and Baby Registry, helping moms get exactly what they need when they need it. We'll be sharing a lot about that throughout our podcast.
On this podcast, you'll hear personal experiences and opinions that are not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. As always, seek advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you have regarding medical topics or otherwise relating to your own health. And although we try to keep it light, delicate subject matter does come up and may be triggering for some people. Having said that, we hope you enjoy our conversation and gain something positive from it.
And now, let's kick off today's episode.
Today we have Astrid Sean Scarbasi, co-founder of Ogni, and today we'll be talking about nutrition and, as always, wellness, support, and more. Welcome, Astrid.
Thank you so much for having me, Erica and Johanna.
Yeah, hey, Astrid. Welcome to Little Honey Money Podcast. We're so excited to learn more about everything you guys do over there at Ogni.
This is our first episode back with Joanna.
Oh.
I'm excited Joanna's back.
I'm back.
She had her first baby.
So exciting. Joanna,
thanks,
so
thanks,
guys. We should do like a full episode just on you.
Oh, I can't wait. Like, I'm dying to share from 2 years ago of recording, starting this podcast and this platform to just the things that I took from it. And I'm beyond excited. So that is coming.
Coming soon.
Amazing. Yes, I will certainly be tuning in.
Amazing. And so where are you currently in motherhood, Astrid?
So I'm also relatively new here. My oldest daughter is just over 2 years old. And I'm also in the process of becoming a mama of two because I am 35 weeks pregnant.
Congrats.
Thank
Congratulations.
You.
Yeah. Amazing. It feels like it's only 35 weeks. How long is it?
Totally. Do I even remember being pregnant? Like, once you're on the other side?
You're almost there.
Yeah. Wow. Around the corner.
Are you doing things differently this time in any way in terms of like how you're taking care of yourself or anything that you're doing?
I feel like the biggest shift for me has been taking lessons that I learned from my daughter's pregnancy, especially her birth and postpartum. So to jump right into it, we worked with home birth midwives and I'd planned home birth. I was so excited for it. I felt really ready for it. I felt really prepared. And then things did not go as planned and very long labor, like almost 4 days, resulted in us being required to transfer to a hospital. In California, there's a law that after 72 hours, you're no longer allowed to be attended by midwives at home. And her heart rate decelerated after a few hours of Pitocin. And so we ended up at a surgical birth. And so that was just such a powerful lesson for me in letting go and surrendering of control and understanding like you don't get to control everything. You know, as you've lived a life where like if you plan for something, if you work really hard for something, then I'm used to getting the result that I set out to get. And with this, it was like, I did all the planning. I did all the affirmations. I did all the birth drawings. I lit all the candles. I did all the rituals. And this is just how she wanted to come into the world. And in hindsight, I wouldn't trade it. I'm so grateful for it because this time coming into birth, I've let go of the like, I want her to be early on this day and she's going to be a Scorpio baby and da-da-da and da-da-da. And like this time I'm like, I can't wait to meet this little soul.
Scorpios are awesome though.
They all are. I'm a Scorpio.
Me too.
Oh, it says the two Scorpios. I love that.
My daughter.
It's funny. I get it. I wanted
was like on the cusp and she ended up being 8 days late and a full Sagittarius. And now I love it. I'm like, of course the Sagittarius fits perfectly into our family. Like I had no idea what I was talking about. The universe knew exactly what it was doing. And that trust and that like, okay, I'm going to hand over some of this and I'm going to be less grabby is really the biggest difference that I feel in myself this pregnancy with planning this birth, with preparing for this postpartum. And it feels great. Like when I look back, I'm just like, oh my gosh, you were so obsessed with the details. And that's not where it was. Like it was in enjoying the experience and being curious about what showed up. So thank you for asking. It's nice to reflect on that.
Thanks for sharing that. It's so candid because I think we all have a similar, not that same story or a similar story, but a similar, like, this is what I expected and this is what happened.
Yeah, it gets you ready for every other instance where you just got to be on your toes and be ready for whatever 100%. Comes at you. And that is like how women are built, you know, just to kind of take every situation as like it comes. And it's powerful.
So what's an important wellness ritual, practice, or personal outlet that helps you maintain your balance alongside being a mother?
Perhaps this is unsurprising because of my chosen career path, creating foods to nourish and support women. But food is such a huge source of joy and comfort and creativity and connection for me. And it, in so many ways, feels like a portal into other parts of my life, from before motherhood and an entree into creating new memories and new experiences with my daughter and with my family. And I don't mean that in like a controlling way or a dogmatic way, like, oh, I was like paleo before motherhood, and so now I'm sticking to that. It's more like I loved to cook and to host before motherhood and to try new things and to, you know, learn about different cuisines from around the world and to connect with my heritage, my part French, part Italian, through food. And so I have brought that along with me, and I continue to do that, even if it's in like the smallest way. Like this morning, it was like making slow cooked scrambled eggs, like with my toddler on my hip. But they're eggs from our CSA, and I read the farm's newsletter, and I feel connected to the eggs and I savor eating them and sharing them with my daughter. And so it's like little food moments like that in our house that I can either make something old and comforting, or I can try something new that I love and makes me feel like me. Like it makes me feel like me to say, oh my gosh, like I'm going to make moufleet mussels and fries for my family this Friday, because that's like a traditional French dish, and I can do it in 15 minutes while my mom is watching my daughter. It's like those little moments that I get to bring back are so much fun for me.
It's so nice. So you're like, what's your background and how did you become interested in like women's health and nutrition?
Yeah. So I actually come from the healthcare world. I worked at a clinic that focused on full lifestyle wellness, and the practitioners, the doctors, the health coaches there were really also interested in nutrition therapeutics. So not just how can food and nutrition prevent disease, but how can it help to reverse conditions that are already progressing? And so I was exposed to some incredible emerging research there, like the research around Alzheimer's that shows that we can actually reverse cognitive decline through specific nutrition interventions. Amazing research by a researcher called Dale Bredesen, and he has a great book out called The End of Alzheimer's, if anyone is curious. And so that really piqued my interest in, okay, so food can also serve as the support system in times where we're really challenged with our health. And I found my way to specifically supporting women's health through nutrition, through some of my own experiences as a woman in a female body experiencing health challenges.
You know, we're in an age where we actually know food is medicine. So I think it's really fascinating how you've really honed in on like the fact that women go through this entire, like from puberty to like childbearing and beyond.
Yes. So well said, Erica. I just love to remind us all that from the time of your first period through menopause, it's 50 years. This is 50 years of hormonal fluctuations of your endocrine system working overtime to help you to ovulate regularly, to get pregnant, to stay pregnant, to give birth. And two stats that I love to point out are when you're pregnant, your baby takes 60% of the nutrients that you're ingesting. When you go through labor and delivery, of course, everyone's birth and labor are different, and how many hours or days that you're actively feeling sensations and your muscles are working, it can be tens of thousands of calories. Like this is training for a serious physical event. And then of course, with breastfeeding, you're constantly
hungry.
Turning over. And she's so ravenous. Like I thought I knew hunger, and then I breastfed. I was like begging my husband to make me a full meal at 3 a.m.
Yeah. So breastfeeding for me was like a bigger event than labor itself.
Oh my gosh, totally. And we like for athletes who are planning for major physical events, we hire nutrition coaches. They have chefs planning all their meals. And I invite us to think about, oh my gosh, yes, let me invite in that support too, because I'm doing incredible things that require a ton of energy and a ton of nutrients.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would always say that to my husband. I'm like, I'm prepping for game day, the biggest game day of my life. I don't know what position I'm playing, but I'm prepping for the biggest game of my life. And it did feel that way. You know, I always imagined this, like, you know, the day of my birth is going to be like one of those Nike commercials, you know, the music's like really intense and you're sweating and like, but you're just going for it. That was like my dreams.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. It is, the breastfeeding part, it's definitely just, it's exhausting, time consuming, and, you know, for a lot of women, just really hard.
And Astrid, you mentioned that, you know, some of your interest in women's nutrition and women's health stemmed from your own health. But at what point on your journey did you see a need for products like Agni?
So it really started in my early 20s. And I thought I was doing everything right for my body, like based on other people's projections of what's right and healthy for a body. So I was training for a marathon. I was running 30 plus miles every week. I was experimenting with the keto diet and my period disappeared. Like it just went MIA for 9 months. And after the 9th missed period in a row, there was something about that number that something inside me went off. And I was like, this isn't right. My body is telling me that it's not happy. And also I'm feeling like I'm hearing this from other female friends, like their cycles are out of whack. They're thinking that they're following a healthy prescription for a lifestyle, but they're experiencing acne or they're experiencing bloating or they're having really heavy periods. And what is this all about? Where is it coming from? And fortuitously at the same time, one of my best friends had just finished a nutrition program and healed many of her own chronic ailments through very intentional changes to her nourishment. And they were much more holistic and integrative than a lot of the kind of prescriptive lists of foods not to have that I was seeing. And something just clicked for me. And I felt like, oh my gosh, this is it. We need to nourish ourselves differently. We need a more female-focused approach to nutrition that accommodates the changing seasons in our bodies. You know, a body that is menstruating and ovulating needs something different than a body that is pregnant, which needs something different than a body that is nursing. But all of those bodies are in need and they're not being served by the current nutritional climate, for lack of a better word, by the, you know, I call it food tribes based advice, where it's kind of like lists of things not to eat or recommendations on how many calories to eat today. That just wasn't cutting it. And it wasn't speaking to, oh my gosh, my cycles are 38 days and I think they should be a little bit shorter. And I'm feeling really ill towards the time of my cycle. And around that time, I learned that an estimated 95% of women in the US are deficient in at least one key nutrient. And those nutrients are pretty predictable, especially for women. It's omega-3, iron, B vitamins, magnesium, selenium. And if you can replenish some of those nutrients, you can see extraordinary results in the lived experience of women. You can see cycles start to normalize. You can see symptoms start to melt away. You can see someone who is struggling to ovulate monthly, suddenly ovulate regularly. And if that person is trying to get pregnant, that can be a huge boon to fertility and helping someone to conceive and then stay pregnant. And so I felt really called to figure out, okay, what would an offering be that would connect those dots, that would both educate women, what do I need? Like, what are the nutrients that my body's craving? And provide it to them in a really joyful, fun way, like in that way that makes you feel just happy and connected to food, not in a way like, oh, I'm like, I have to eat the healthy meal again, the boring meal again. It's like, no, I want this to feel indulgent and joyful, because that's such a huge part of food, is feeling connected to it and excited about it. Like, as I mentioned, that's just such a source of self-care for me. It's like, okay, I'm not planning a trip to France right now, but like having a taste of a pastry that I once had there is like second best to jumping into the Mediterranean. Like, it can totally transform your day for the better to eat something that feels good all the way down, like tastes good and is good for your body.
And I love that you went with cookies.
Of course, like, gotta go with something so tasty.
Yeah.
So we're cookies and teas and seasoning, right? I'd love to have you break down like the suite of products that you guys are carrying.
Yes, I would love to. So we have products for every stage. So starting with periods all the way through fertility, pregnancy, post-run recovery, and menopause. And especially we have a unique tea for each one of those stages. And then we have different cookies that really serve well in maybe two of those stages. So our double chocolate chip cookie has pumpkin seeds, flax seeds, cocoa, shatavari, and it's really great for cycle health. So it can really support a regular pain-free period, and it can really support fertility. And we also were really intentional to make these cookies nutrient-dense and full of ingredients that are harder for us to come by in our food system. And we kept out a lot of the allergens or things that can disrupt gut health or create dysbiosis, not for everyone all the time, but just because they're so common or because the quality is compromised. So there's no gluten, there's no dairy, there are no nuts, there are no soy, there's no egg, to make them really inclusive for people who are experiencing allergies. Not to say that a healthy, robust diet can't include all of those things. I've actually personally had times in my life where I was really sensitive to gluten or dairy, and actually now I tolerate them really well and there's no adverse effect. And part of it is sourcing really high quality. Part of it is the way that they're prepared or, you know, the ratios of them in my own life. But that was really important to us to make these cookies be really inclusive and not have any question marks. Like somebody can be eating them and feel like, okay, not only is this tasting really good, but it's good for me. It's good all the way down. Like it's my vitamin. I should be eating these cookies every day. We also have oatmeal chocolate chip cookies that are great for digestion and lactation. So we highly recommend them during pregnancy and postpartum recovery. And there, people always ask, like, what's your best seller? And the oatmeal chocolate chip cookies continue to deliver. Like people tend to really love them. And the quick turnaround for results with breastfeeding is also great because incorporating those galactagogues, oats, flax, brewer's yeast, psyllium husk, are really powerful for helping the quantity and quality of breast milk when you're in the thick of it and when every ounce counts.
Right. And digestion and then, needs all the support.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's crazy to think about the physical changes of your digestive tract. Like they had to accommodate like not just a 6, 7, 8 pound baby, but like 2 to 5 pounds of placental weight and all this blood volume. And so they're like squeezed into a new corner. And then they're trying to regain their structure. And it's definitely nice to be kind to your digestion and put mm-hmm. things through your intestinal tract, like fibers and, you know, prebiotics, probiotics, healthy microbes to help your digestion and help you absorb everything else that you nourish yourself with. And then the last type of product that we have are seasonings. We have an amazing set of 2 seasonings that are actually relevant through all the different chapters of a woman's life cycle. They support a practice called cycling. So if someone's not familiar with seed cycling, it's the practice of taking a tablespoon of ground pumpkin and flax for the first half of roughly 14 days, but essentially through ovulation of an ovulation cycle, and then taking a ground tablespoon of sesame and sunflower seeds for the second half. And this, I love this practice because it's been recommended for hundreds, if not thousands of years in traditional medicinal practices by herbalists, by Chinese medicine practitioners. And also we've now seen modern research on it that explains to us why does this work so well? And it has to do with the nutrients that are in pumpkin and flax seeds and how they support the progesterone dominant part of an ovulation cycle, that first part. And then the sesame and sunflower support the estrogen dominant part of an ovulation cycle. And actually it's the reverse, estrogen first, progesterone second. I heard myself saying it incorrectly as I was saying it. And we've seen preliminary studies that show that the quantitative and qualitative improvements that a woman experiences when seed cycling, when incorporating these seeds into her diet, are amazing. We see better progesterone to estrogen ratios. We see better 4-day estradiol. We see better self-reported symptoms of PMS. And so seed cycling is an incredible practice for all periods of your life where you are cycling. And then it's also just an amazing just eating these seasonings. So they include the ground seeds that are necessary for both parts. We have a sesame nori for the second half and a cinnamon maca for the first half, but they also include really fun spices that make them really great to top foods. So our sesame nori is almost like a furikake. You put it on eggs or avocado toast or over rice. Cinnamon maca is great on oatmeal, smoothies, etc. And if you're not cycling, so for example, while I'm pregnant, I'll just try to get in a tablespoon of one or the other at every day of the month in order to absorb more nutrients, to add flavor and nutrition to every food that I'm eating, to incorporate those into my diet. So I love, love our seasonings. They make this practice of seed cycling really accessible. They make it really easy, whether you're doing takeout or whether you're home cooking or whether you're traveling, to just boost that nutrition profile of whatever food is in front of you in a really beautiful way.
That's a really good idea. You know, really about that, to just like add your own seasoning to things that, you know, can add nutrients.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. As like a super easy bagel topper.
Yeah.
Type of thing. It's like that replaces my everything bagel, but I actually feel like I'm getting, you know, I love that seasoning and I saw it on eggs. I was like, yum, sesame nori. That's like very much up my alley.
That does sound delicious. And all of it sounds really appetizing. And I love that it has like the nutritional value too. Hey, it's Erica, and I want to share a quick backstory. When I was pregnant with my first baby, I spent so much time trying to find all the best things for my baby. There are just so many things out there for newborns, and it was really hard to know what we would actually need. But when my baby arrived, I was surprised to find that I really didn't need to spend that much time obsessing over the products for her and for the nursery. I actually needed stuff too. And really, it was the care and the support that we had around our family that made the biggest difference to us. Once I knew this, I was a lot more focused on my own health and the care services for my family. I'm talking about things like doulas, baby nurses, acupuncture, meal deliveries, lactation specialists, fitness classes, and the list goes on. Those were the things that made my new motherhood experience more enriched every day. And honestly, the better off I was, the more my entire family benefited from it. So when I was pregnant with my second baby, I really wanted to find a baby registry that helped me prioritize those things in addition to what I needed for my baby. I just couldn't find one. And I've now talked to hundreds of other moms who have found themselves in that same boat. And that's why I set out to create a new kind of baby registry that challenges the way we shower new moms with gifts. Because I'm convinced there's a better way to give them what they really need. And it starts with putting the mother first. So here you go, the baby registry that I was looking for. Little Honey Money. It's here, it's live, and it's ready to help you get what you need when you need it. Check us out at littlehoneymoney.com. But for now, let's get back to our episode. I want to go back to something you said a few minutes ago because it stood out for me. How did you overcome your sensitivities to gluten and dairy?
So with gluten, it was actually taking a break. It was just like, okay, I'm going to take, for me, it was only 2 weeks. I've had friends who they've needed to stay away for a few months, but then one day wake up and they're like, okay, I just really want that sourdough bread. It looks really good. They eat it and they have no adverse reaction. For me, it was part of, I was doing an Ayurvedic cleanse where I was focusing on eating kitcheries and vegetables and like specific nutrient dense foods. And I wasn't including gluten or dairy. And at the end of those 2 weeks, when I reintroduced gluten, my gut dysbiosis had disappeared because what Ayurveda would call your Agni, your digestive fire, was really strong and thriving. It could tolerate gluten totally fine. And I didn't have any of the GI symptoms or swelling that I'd had previously when I'd eaten types of gluten. And so for everyone, depending on how long have symptoms been presenting, and of course, if somebody has an allergy like celiac, they may never be able to recover a tolerance for gluten. But for so many people, it is about, they either need a break, they need some type of intentional multi-day or multi-week process to help rekindle their Agni and make it really strong and thriving. Agni being your digestive fire and the way you incorporate and absorb nutrients. And then
There's the name. There's the name. Okay. Love that.
In Ayurveda, there's this beautiful tenet that, you know, we're not just what we eat, we are what we digest. And so our digestion is so important. And it's incredible because this concept of Agni almost like predated and foretold the idea of a microbiome. It's this idea that, okay, there's stuff happening in our gut and we can contribute to the health of that by eating fermented foods, by eating at regular times of the day, by combining certain foods together that really like to be digested together and have complementary nutrients. And so learning about Ayurveda for Agni has been one of the best things that's happened to my own health and to my own ability to be in communication with my body and understand, oh, okay, my Agni is overactive right now. Like it's too strong. I am not absorbing things. Things are passing through me too quickly. I need to lay off spicy foods and heating foods, and I need to focus on more cooling foods and more grains versus, oh my gosh, my digestion is really weakened and I need to get it going again by offering it spice and fermented foods. And it's just a really beautiful practice. I highly encourage if anybody feels like they want to explore a new paradigm and philosophy on digestion, just reading about Ayurveda. There's a great book called The Complete book of Ayurvedic home remedies, which is so much more than a home remedy book. It has kind of an intro to Ayurveda. What is it all about? What are ways to impact digestion and bolster digestion?
Ayurveda is amazing, but it's like, if you don't like live it and breathe it and practice it, it's really hard to like kind of understand. So I think the fundamentals are really nice to share.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think my husband asked me when I was like, I have this, postpartum doula coming over to give me an Ayurvedic, you know, massage. And he's like, what is Ayurveda? And I'm like, yeah, couldn't tell him.
Good question.
I was like, you know, she's working on my dosha, my vata.
Oh my gosh. Well, you've like got some of the words in the vocabulary.
That's all I said.
I mean, truly when I started Omni, I thought Ayurveda was like a form of skincare. And I should mention with Agni and with the creation of our products, we worked with an interdisciplinary medical advisory board. So we had a Western medicine doctor and an integrated medicine doctor and nutritionist, but we also had an herbalist and a Chinese medicine doctor and Ayurvedic doctors. And through these Ayurvedic doctors, because Ayurveda has so much to say about what to eat and when and why, and it's very fluid. It changes with you, which I love. And the more I learned about it, the more I was blown away and just felt like, oh my gosh, this is so wise. We're constantly... It called things that we are now discovering via studies. It called this idea of the microbiome. It called turmeric as being a very potent anti-inflammatory, like curcumin, the active ingredient, is now prescribed so commonly across the world for so many different conditions. It also called the idea of genetics and epigenetics. It has the concept of Vakruchi and Prakruchi, this idea that you have an inborn constitution and that your environment can also trigger certain patterns within your body. And how I would describe it now, like the next time your husband asks what Ayurveda is, you can say it's actually the traditional healthcare philosophy, like the medical system of ancient India. And so it was a collection of medical texts written by different practitioners, almost like a set of textbooks and a set of guidelines of like user manual, how to live in your body, how to interact with food in your environment in order to keep it thriving and keep it running. Super, super fascinating and robust. And I'm so excited to see more and more people study it, practice it, teach it, take an interest in it, because I think it is going to do great things for women's health specifically.
We recently had on Martha Sulfur from Surya Spa. And like you were saying with the cleanses, like she talked a lot about that. And also just like having both partners who are conceiving, like do cleanses before, because you kind of set your body up to conceive because you're passing everything on to your child. And it's just like fascinating how when you look at like your whole health and like what happens before and what happens during, what happens after childbirth, like there's so many layers, and Ayurveda is just such a beautiful approach to it.
You know, you're already sharing so many things with our community, but what are some of the things that maybe you wish had been shared with you before entering motherhood?
I think one of the biggest things I would offer to women entering motherhood is an invitation to find a way to make things that light you up, things that are for yourself, that feed your soul, the new normal, like just non-negotiables and fixtures of your life. And we can look at our lives and say like, okay, like what are the things that are like defaults? Okay. Like maybe a default is like, I, as the morning person and earlier riser in our house, like I always get our daughter out of her room in the morning when she wakes up, and she's always been a pretty early riser, lucky us. And because of that, like a default normal in the house is that my husband like cleans up and closes down house after she goes to bed. Like I get the evenings as my own time and space to stretch and move if I haven't been able to move enough during the day, or read a book or take a bath. And I'm having like knowing that like the 30, 45 minutes after bedtime, like I'm not cleaning, I'm not on for anyone, I'm here for myself, is a norm in our family. And so I think it's really easy, especially as schedules are changing so quickly and life is coming at you, for those moments to disappear from the day. And I think just being attuned to like, okay, where, what either time of day or what activity can be a norm that is for me. And it might be a meal that you can rely on. I have a mom friend who says, you know, I treat myself to a meal delivery service that brings me nourishing lunches 5 days a week so that I can rely on one nourishing meal a day that I don't cook or clean for. And I thought that was such a good new normal. Like that was just like, you built that in as your new normal. It's non-negotiable. It's a budget item in the family budget. Like good for you.
Yeah. I'd love to add to that, because that recently just happened to me, or like it's similar in mindset of before I gave birth, I was working with my therapist. She's a perinatal therapist, Molly Norman, who we actually had on our podcast, and that's how I met her. And, you know, she was talking, you know, we kind of go through like, what are you looking for after the baby's here? What are some of those things you're going to really need for yourself and you want to make sure you prioritize? You know, I was like, house needs to be clean. My nails need to be done. My car needs to be washed. Like, I had, you know, these things, and, you know, I would journal these things. Like, I want balance and I want this and that. And then on the other side of having my daughter, I was in a therapy session and I was telling her, I was like, you know, I had this moment yesterday when I was so tired. I had so many things to do, and I kept thinking of those things I needed to get done for myself to feel like balanced. But when I really like those things kind of just really got deprioritized really fast. And I realized what I really wanted was like rest, more just calm time with my baby. And I was going to let some of those things that I thought before, like, you know, the house doesn't need to be clean right now because I want to just sit here and breastfeed her in bed and not pump and then quickly go on and do all my errands, like, and just kind of journaling those things, like the perspective from before and after, I felt were just so, it was very kind of like freeing to someone like me who is so wants to be in control of everything and check the boxes. But you're right. There are a lot of new normals that you just start to like be okay with and really like, just let yourself ease into those new normals and be okay with it and not judge yourself for those things that you're like, I'm not gonna do the dishes right now. But I'm okay with it. If someone comes over and has dishes in my sink, deal with it.
You know? Deal with it. I have a healthy, alive baby.
Exactly. And I just spent an extra 20 minutes with because I wasn't like, you know, my husband will be here in a little bit. He'll do them in a second.
Yeah. Different things bring you peace after having a baby.
Yeah.
I love that. And I also love that, like, it came from you. It came from you taking the time to journal about it. Because I think sometimes people look externally and they're like, well, that's how this person does self-care, or, oh, it looks like this or this. And you ultimately are the best person to know, like, what's going to fill me up in this moment? Is it 20 extra minutes with my baby? Or for some women, it's like, no, it actually is a pump session and like a 20 minute walk away, like, cause I'm spending the rest of my day with it. And, but it's different for everyone. And you don't know unless you ask yourself and you tune in and you listen to the answer.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's like kind of the cornerstone of Little Honey Money. Every journey is different and everybody is equipped differently and everybody comes from a different background and everybody has a different set of needs and priorities. So when we're talking about a baby registry and we're trying to give moms what they really need, it's impossible to know what every mom needs. Like, you're not that mom. Only that mom knows.
We don't even usually know. And, you know, when you're registering 3 months before your baby shower, which is still like probably 5-6 months before your baby's here.
Only you know. And you know when you need it, right? Like, you know what you need. If you need a walk, if you need someone to do your dishes, or if you need new pump equipment or whatever it is.
Night nanny.
Right. Nanny.
Night nanny.
You add it to your little honeymoon. Yeah. Night nanny.
Yes.
Well, speaking of, I wanted to ask you, Astrid, like, did you rely on any like care or support systems during your first or during this pregnancy and postpartum?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yay, tell us.
So much support. I'm all about all the support. So for both pregnancies, I worked with midwives, and that has been such a gift, such a joy. We were intentional about picking the practices, and the teams are amazing. And they are just here for all the things you don't even know that you'll need. Like, I had no way of knowing that in this pregnancy around third trimester, I started waking up every 90 minutes to 2 hours having to pee at night. And I'm like, what? Like, where is this coming from? Like, what's going on? I kind of thought, okay, whatever. This is just how third pregnancy is going to be. I can fall right back asleep. It's not a huge deal. I brought up with my midwife, and she was like, can you try out some electrolyte powders? Just like a few days a week, not every day. Literally the first day I did electrolyte powders, I only woke up once to pee at night. And I was like, how did you know? And she's like, I just had a feeling, and like, knowing that you're really active, like, I see the electrolyte balance get off, and I can see that impacting just like you having to pee too much. And I was like, wow, thank you. Like, that was support I never knew I needed. But this person who like takes time to listen and knows her stuff and
knows you at that point,
knows me, has known me for many, many months and weeks, and takes the time for 30 minute visits that are not just transactional, was amazing. We've also worked with doulas for both pregnancies. And in our first pregnancy, our doula offered postpartum support as well. And so we had her come a few hours, like 2 or 3 days a week. And my husband and I looked forward to those hours like they were an oasis in the desert. Like, they were like a postpartum doula is just a gift to the universe. Like someone who just comes in and breezes through a room and like tidies it, who just like jumps in and does what needs to be done. Like, I don't think she ever did the same thing twice. Like one day it was like she baked cookies because like she could see I was just like so hungry all the time and like craving like calories. And then another day, like she takes the baby for a walk in the carrier. Another day she makes sure I get a nap. Like whatever she does, she just brought sunshine into our lives and like added to the option set of what was possible and what would nourish me in that moment. And I think that's something I love so much about Little Honey Money. And as we were just saying, you know, when you have no idea what you're going to want, you look at a menu and you're like, okay, I guess like I'll pick from what's on the menu. And if the menu is all physical items, that's what you're going to call into your life. And if somebody is there to show you, okay, well, what I needed was a postpartum doula. What I needed was massage and touch, or what I needed was a night nurse. Like that is going to change what you order from the menu and what you start to guess about what you'll need in such a positive way.
God, I love how you frame that.
Yeah, you're so right. Because all of the suggested baby things that, you know, the registers tell you you need, they're not ever really listing the things that Little Honey Money lists.
The way that you framed it though, those are the options on the menu and that's what you're calling in.
So that's what you choose from. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
And that's what we're trying to like actually change that. We're trying to actually broaden the scope of what you're thinking and imagining for yourself and really kind of honing in on what are your priorities. Do you want to feel good? Do you want to feel supported? Do you want to feel empowered? Do you want to have the tools and the knowledge to take care of your baby in a way that you feel like is going to set them up for their health and their success? And all of these things, what contributes to those things? Is it physical things? Is it support? Is it a combination? Again, it's different for everyone. So,
amen.
What are the things you'd have on your Little Honey Money registry? I feel like we might know. Let's recap.
So what I do have on my Little Honey Money registry, because I have one, the first thing I added was massage. I love being massaged. Like being massaged while pregnant or postpartum is just otherworldly. Like it totally resets my nervous system. I get incredible sleep the night after. It's like a sleep of 1,000 years. Like I just like wake up in a new dimension. And I really missed that in my first pregnancy, which was completely in early pandemic, like pre-vaccine days. So I really didn't experience that with my first pregnancy. And this time around, it's been such a lifeline and I'm so grateful for it. And I really encourage other women to explore it. There's just something so nourishing about the experience of massage during this time. I also, oh my gosh, for sure, meal credits to great places with menus that offer things that are really nourishing to me, that I'm excited about, that I will know will taste good and feel good in the moment, and also mean not worrying about cooking and cleaning when there's so much else to do. Those are my big ones.
Those are good ones.
For sure.
Yeah. In this pregnancy, things might be different. Like I mentioned, the birth itself was really challenging. And so my recovery was really challenging on a physical level. Thankfully, breastfeeding was really smooth. So I'd lined up, you know, like, okay, what are the names of the lactation consultants around? And we ended up not needing that. But this time around, I might. So I think it's also really nice to think about what's the like wild card. Like maybe I'll go add this as like the wild card of like the thing we don't know we need after the birth, but that you want to set aside, like feel like you don't hesitate to call on once you realize you need it. And it might be a lactation consultant. It might be something else you can't foresee.
That's a really good piece of advice, is to just kind of have your contacts ready for if you need them, you know who to call instead of having to like scramble, ask around, Google.
Totally. Yeah. You don't want to be like reading Yelp reviews like while sleep deprived. Okay.
Trying to search for something in real time is so much harder than, having some great recommendations queued up. Where are you based, Astrid?
I'm in the Bay Area.
Okay, cool. I was going to say I have recommendations for all those things, but I'm sure you have your network out there.
Are you familiar with Milky Oat in the Bay Area?
No.
Check out Milky Oat postpartum meal deliveries.
Yeah. So jealous if you get to use her. I'm like, please launch in LA. I've been using Organic Oran, which I also do love, but Milky Oat is like, I would sign up for that if she was in LA.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Amazing rec. Thank you.
If you need an intro, she is a good friend of Little Honey Money. So feel free to let us know.
Incredible. You know, I will. Somebody offering like nourishing postpartum meals, like after my own heart.
Exactly. You guys are so aligned, and it's like, it's going to be your chance to kind of sit back. You nourish so many other women and mothers, and it's your turn to sit back and let people nourish you.
I accept.
Well, Astrid, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for all of this great info. Can you please tell your listeners where to find you?
Yes. So you can find Ogni at ogniforall.com or at ogniforall on Instagram. Those are two great ways to be in touch and to keep up with conversations that we're having. We do really fun community events and education moments. Those are two great places to find us and check us out.
Oh, and if you're shopping on Ogni's website, I'm excited. We have a promo code for our listeners. Use Little Honey Money at checkout for a discount. It's good on all products site-wide. That's ogniforall.com and Little Honey Money at checkout.
Amazing. Thank you, Astrid, so much.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Thank you for listening to the podcast by Little Honey Money. Visit us at www.littlehoneymoney.com and follow along on Instagram at Little Honey Money.